Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Real News Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I have a co-host today, Justin Cook, and he will be joining us momentarily. For those of you that haven't heard us on this, haven't heard me on this station before, as you know, I do shows on the Last American Radio broadcast, and I'm also going to be doing some shows over here on Real News Radio. This site is pretty much, you know, run off of my website, this radio station. For those of you that don't know, that's the realnewsonline.com. And, you know, while you're here listening to the radio, I do suggest that you check out some of our stuff, especially our blog section. We got some really good information in our blog section. Some of those are from me. Some of those are actually from our other host today, Justin Cook, and Mike Damon over at firetown.com. So there's a lot of good content in there. Today's show, guys, there's a lot of stuff I want to actually talk about. I want to talk a little bit about the mega upload situation. I want to talk a little bit about the whole Tim Thomas situation. For those of you that don't know, Tim Thomas, you know, usually we don't talk about sports here except when we're doing the sports shows. Tim Thomas is the actual goalie for the Boston Bruins, and he decided against going to the White House. And he didn't show up. They went there about 5 days ago. Obama greeted everybody, and he decided not to go, and he took a stand not to go. The reasons he said, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I will get it for you guys momentarily. You know, he released a statement, and, you know, he said, you know, this isn't about party. This isn't about politics. This is about the federal government just, you know, going way too far and, you know, infringing upon our civil liberties and our freedom and everything else. And I've heard so many people, especially in this area, because I'm from Boston, so I've heard it all, all right? As a lot of you maybe, you know, maybe have heard yourself just tuning in on the you know, talk radio or the news stations or whatever. And I've heard so many people try and make this into a party issue. And it's not a party issue. I mean, he even says it right in the statement. And that's kind of boggles my mind. It shows me kind of, you know, I wrote a little thing on it. It kind of shows the sad state of where we are intellectually as a nation. I mean, you can't even – people can't even express their beliefs anymore without getting totally attacked for it. And then if people would just scratch past the surface, dig past all the political bullcrap that's sprinkled on top of everything – and just look at what's right and what's wrong, I think, you know, you could come to some much better solutions to things. The whole left-right paradigm, I mean, I just never got it. I never bought into it. Guys, bear with me 1 second. I'm going to add Justin Cook to the call right now. He's ready, so let me just add him in. Justin.
Yeah, how you doing, Bright?
Good. You couldn't find the button? It's right there on the site underneath the Listen Now thing.
All right, yeah. I'm on my Skype. So what's going on? Do we already do the intro and everything?
Yeah, we're already live. We're live on the air right now. I basically just – I didn't really go into too much. I just started talking about Tim Thomas a little bit. I told people I wanted to talk about Mega Upload, and why don't you tell us what you think about the whole, you know, Tim Thomas not going to the White House and people trying to make a big deal and make a left-right issue out of it when he clearly says in his statement, which I'll bring up in a second, he clearly says right in his statement that it's not a left-right issue. It's about the federal government going too far and infringing right upon our liberties, and he doesn't agree with it, and I don't know about where you are, because I know you're closer to New York and I'm closer to Boston. But over here, you know, obviously it's a big thing. And even the Boston Globe, Justin, is calling for Tim Thomas to get traded. Can you believe that?
Wow.
How ridiculous is that? And that is because they are a Democratic newspaper and he did not show up to the White House. I mean, it's as easy as that. And that's how absurd it is. I mean, you're gonna call for the trade of your best player or one of your best players because of that? Theo Epstein did the same thing. Theo Epstein did the same thing, Justin. But he did it. He didn't show up to Bush, and the Boston Globe didn't say boo about it.
All right. My whole opinion on the Tim Thomas thing, and I wish he had gotten a little more specific in his quote just to get to people out there. But, you know, it was really, you know, I totally don't blame the guy, and I wouldn't have shown up either for, you know, for Bush or Obama or any of these puppets. But especially the last two. I mean, you know, under Clinton, it's like, you know, we know that, you know, that stuff was going on, but it wasn't so blatant. You know, right now they're blatantly taking away our rights by way of the, you know, NDAA, you know, National Defense Authorization Act, the Food Safety Act from last year. The fact that he re-added to the Patriot Act, you know, it just shows that this guy is part of, you know, the people that want to take our rights away. And, you know, and the fact that Tim Thomas, you know, made the biggest, I think that's the best thing you could do, something like that, is just not go. And I totally am 100% behind it. But last night I posted your article on it, on Eyes Wide Open News, and someone put back, "I'm not buying it." I said, "What are you not buying?" You know, the whole problem was I went and looked at their profile. They happened to be a, you know, some type of Occupy supporter and still somehow an Obama supporter. And I said, well, you know, I guess I don't even, you know, you're still stuck in this left-right paradigm. And, you know, to me, I think you're just, it's not even worth talking to until you can figure that out. You know, but the main thing is that, you know, like you said, he made it clear this is not about parties. This is not about anything else. You know, I think that it was totally, you know, it was a great move, and I'm glad it's getting some publicity.
Yeah, well, although, you know, people criticize athletes all the time for not sticking up for what's right and being dumb athletes. Now, here's a guy that's in tune with what's really going on, and now people want to crap all over him for it. And, you know, you have people like, let's say, for instance, like Tim Tebow, okay? And I'm bringing this up because somebody commented on it. I had posted it at Let's Roll, and somebody had jumped in there and kind of jumped on my throat about saying you should be – the people – you should never mind this guy. The people you should be you know, praising is and applauding is Tim Tebow because he's taken a stand against the Zionist media. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? Tim Tebow is just going out there and he's praying because either A, he's really religious – and he feels like that's what he needs to do to stay in his rhythm or whatever, or B, because, you know, God did whatever for him, and he feels, you know, he's got his name out in the media, and he's giving back and getting the you know, the word of the Lord out or whatever. You know, and everybody knows I'm not religious, but I don't have a problem with that. But to say that what Tim Thomas is doing is less than what I didn't get that analogy at all. Like, Tim Thomas is actually taking a stand. You know, he's actually going out and saying something about it. What he's doing is he's using his celebrity persona to put a message out. And the message that he's putting out is the right message. The reason we need him to do this and more people like him to do this is because the regular media is not going to get this type of message out. The regular mainstream people have no idea about the government even oppressing against all their liberties and everything. And we need more athletes like this to speak out. Do you remember was it a Pittsburgh Steeler, Justin? The guy that said something about 9/11 a few months back and he got chastised for it?
That was Rashard Mendenhall, Pro Bowl running back. I don't know if he made it. I don't think he made it this year, but regardless, you know, and that was a big thing. And I remember, you know, arguing with people around that time, and I was just gonna bring up Mendenhall. Actually, you just really read my mind there. Mendenhall was another example of, you know, and he didn't get a little too deep in it. He did say a little something about, you know, a little 9/11 truth in there, like something about, I believe, about the buildings crashing, or, you know, about the buildings coming down so fast. But really, his main thing was it really just saying that you know, why are we cheering? You know, you people call yourself Christians or whatever, and yet you're cheering at someone else's death and acting like you just won the Super Bowl, you know, or acting like you just, you know, became a free nation or whatever, you know. And it's really insane to that this is the norm nowadays. And I can't believe how many people out there, you know, support these wars and support this stuff. And but you know, getting back to Tebow, I just want to say there's nothing anti-Zionist about Tebow.
No, like not you said, at all. It was laughable when the person said that.
Yeah, totally. For one, he's an evangelical Christian, which, you know, most likely those are the ones that think that that believe that Israel has a right to that land, and, you know, it's all this other stuff. So I think that was a totally false argument, whoever put that on the forum. But it's just, you know, I think you're right. I think that athletes need to stand up every now and then and let themselves be heard about these issues, because right now that's the only people that are listening to is athletes, maybe a couple pundits here and there who are totally opinionated, and then, you know, actors and people like that. That's what we've turned to. That's our idol worship. You know, I like them using a platform. You know who else did a couple years ago? I believe Hall of Fame center, if not ex-Hall of Fame or Pro Bowl center, Mark Stepnoski, Dallas Cowboys. He came out for 9/11 Truth a few years ago. So, I mean, that was also a pretty good thing. But
it makes me want to beat my head off a wall when people attack these people. And they're trying to help you, man. You know, they're trying to tell you things that, you know, other people aren't telling you. Yeah, I mean, you hear it all the time. You hear it all the time. I'm going to actually, because it's short, it'll take me a second. I'm going to read Tim Thomas's statement for those of you out there that might have missed it or might not really know what we're talking about. Basically what happened, you know, to sum it up a little more is, you know, the Bruins won the Stanley Cup last year. Tim Thomas was obviously one of the main reasons behind that. And, you know, they went to the White House. And a lot of guys don't go to the White House, okay? Albert Pujols didn't go to the White House, or Tony La Russa when the Cardinals won, okay? Albert Pujols, you could absolutely say, is by far, I mean, he is absolutely on the level of Tim Thomas, I mean, even more. And he didn't go, and nobody made a big stink about it. But they're making a big stink about it because he made a statement. Now, listen to his statement, guys. This is Tim Thomas' statement of why he didn't go to the White House. I believe the federal government has grown out of control, threatening the rights, liberties, and property of the people. This is being done at the executive, legislative, and judicial level. This is in direct opposition to the Constitution and the Founding Fathers' vision for federal government. Because I believe this, today I exercised my right as a free citizen and did not visit the White House. This was not about politics or party, as in my opinion, both parties are responsible for the situation we are in as a country. This was about a choice I had to make as an individual. This is the only public statement I will be making on this topic, Tim Thomas. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. And you know what? Here's another thing, too, as an American. You know, I think that he right there is, you know, is showing, well, that's, you know, he has a right, you know, so still as an American to not go to this if he doesn't want to. This isn't communist, you know, China or totalitarian, you know, it's turning it to that. But you know what I'm saying? He's showing that whatever he has left, he can still exercise. And his comment, I think, you know, it really just showed that he's nervous, and anyone else paying attention should be nervous that we are on the road to totalitarianism. You know, and you know, he clearly stated it wasn't about part here, that it's not a right left thing. I think, did I get cut out
for a second? Just like last 10 seconds worth.
Yeah, I was gonna say I love that he said that it's both parties that are contributing with this, and that's the thing that I think 70% of Americans will not acknowledge, and they may acknowledge to a point and say, well, you know, the Democrats are a little worse, or the Republicans are a little worse. You know, you know, they still try to say it's one group, and I hate it whenever anyone tries to even bring it up.
It drives me nuts, Justin. It drives me absolutely nuts. You know, even with a statement like this, I've watched some people I know try and turn it into a left-right issue and stop bitching about, oh, he didn't go because Obama this and Obama that and all the people. I'm like, no, not Obama this and Obama that. The whole government this and the whole government that. What is wrong with you? He even lays it out for you, even if he didn't include the words. But he included the words. This is not about party. I mean, how much more black and white does the guy have to say it? And here's a millionaire that could easily just ignore all this BS. I mean, he you know, guys that making $10 million a year, I mean, to some extent, they can fly on private planes. They can have access to things we can't have access to. You know what I'm saying, Justin? And they could easily ignore it more than the regular Joe, because you know, they can basically buy their way out of situations. But he, you know, he's sticking up for everybody, and people want to chastise this guy. Maybe people should, you know, pay some attention to the message. Don't attack the messenger. Read the message. What's the message saying? What is he talking about? You know, and that's some of the things I put in my post in one of the forums the other day. I added on after the blog, talking about, you know, the things he's talking about. I mean, you know, nobody, you're not hearing it in the mainstream. That's why he's bringing it up. You know, you're getting molested at the airport. You know, all these things. They're making it illegal to barter things, to trade with people. I mean, raw milk, you know, all this stuff. It's just, it's absurd. And I think most people, even if they're not, you know, quote unquote awake or whatever, if you got them to understand, if you got them to understand that, you know, what was really going on, and they had some sort of idea, then I think they would see how wrong it is and how bad it is. Guys, excuse us. We lost Justin for a second. Looks like he's offline. He may be having trouble with his connection. Yeah, this issue really gets under my skin, guys. I mean, it really does. You would think this would be I would expect a little bit of flack, and not, I don't think that it's warranted, but I would expect some people to speak out about it because I just know how people are. But for people to still take it and twist his words and say he's, you know, all against Obama. I heard a guy, all right? I heard a guy on the sports talk station over here. And this guy literally said that if it was a Republican in the White House, that Tim Thomas would have went to the White House. No, he wouldn't. How are these people still not getting it? No, he wouldn't have went to the White House. That's not the point. It's not about the party, guys. And that's how everybody should be. This is a message that should spread down to everybody, okay? Obviously, Tim Thomas gets it. I know I get it. I know Justin gets it. I know a lot of the people on our sites and our forums and our groups or whatever get it. But do you get it? Does your neighbor get it? It's frustrating. You know, it really is. And this is the type of issue that I think is important to bring up because it's a sports-type political thing. So all those people on the other side of the spectrum that don't want to look into any real issues, and I used to be one of them, okay? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, all right? But all those people on the other side of the spectrum, now we can kind of bring them into the, you know, bring them into the ring, into the realm, bring them into the real world a little bit, show them some real issues. And I have been able to, because he's talking about real issues here. Now, you know, that's the problem, guys. You know, it really is. Everybody wants to make it a left-right thing. Do you guys know? I mean, come on, the left-right is all a distraction. It's all it's ever been. I don't know how many times I can tell you guys this. And even before I was awake and knew about 9/11 and knew about all this other stuff, right? I never bought into the party system, guys. I mean, how could you? It doesn't even make a lick of sense, does it? It doesn't even make a lick of sense. Guys, we're going to take a quick 2-minute break. I'm going to try and get Justin back in here. Just stick with us. We'll be right back. 2 minutes. You're listening to Real News Radio. All right, everybody, we are back. Thank you for sticking with us during that brief break. We just kind of had to restart a few things. Sometimes Skype, guys, it just acts totally crazy, and there's really just nothing I can do about it. Sometimes it just acts absolutely nuts. But Justin's back with us. Justin, you're here, correct?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of it, too, has to do with the fact that I have a lousy computer. And I can't have too many windows open at once. And if I try to, you know, so I'll try not to open too many windows, but sometimes Skype really has given us some problems in the last 2 years that I've been doing radio on Skype. It really is a pain in the ass. I'd like to find a way around it. Anyway, yeah. So what were we were talking about athletes in general and, Tim Thomas. I think like I said, the main things that, you know, that I liked about it was the fact he didn't go into party and the fact, you know, he didn't say this is a left or right or Republican Democrat issue. You know, him like so many other Americans, and like so many other Americans should be, is getting upset at the specter of the American government sticking their nose into places it shouldn't be, and making criminals out of everyday Americans, and you know, just the emerging police state. And I think that it was noble to finally see us, you know, some athletes stand up to it, especially from Obama, who was so, unpopular to criticize, even with these days, seeing how bad the last 3 years have been. And I know it's his handlers. I know it's on him. But, you know, to the people out there that still haven't broken through the matrix, you know, that's who else, you know, we have to say it's him or Dub, you know, it's the regime, the people behind it, obviously, but.
I was real happy to see his comments, honestly. I was real happy he didn't go. You know, this place up here, you know, and I had always heard, but I had never paid too much attention to it because, like I said, I never bought into the whole left-right thing. I was always about right and wrong. I don't understand how you could go and vote for somebody if, you know, let me give a quick example, okay, people out there that are listening. And when I start this, it doesn't make a difference to me, Democrat or Republican. I'm just making examples here, okay? Let's just say there's a guy running for your district or whatever, and he's a Democrat, and you're a Republican, okay? Now, this Democrat guy is going to cut taxes in a way that's going to help your family. He's going to give you some sort of fuel assistance for your family, this, that, and the other thing. But now, you know, you're not going to vote for him because he's a Democrat, and you're going to go and vote for the Republican who is going to make things worse for your family. I mean, how does that make any sense? And there's people that will do that. I mean, you know, I could see it to a point maybe where – and then you would bend on certain issues and be willing to bend and jump to the other side. But, I mean, the people that are just, you know, straight one way or the other, I mean, I just – I can't see it at all, Justin. It just doesn't make any sense how you can just not go for right and wrong and what's best for you and your family.
Exactly. I think that it's definitely something that's really a problem. And I think that, you know, when you get down to smaller elections like that, to where, you know, the town, you know, city, state, state to a certain extent, maybe your alderman or, you know, whatever. But for the most part, all the upper offices are controlled. But of course, you know, your mayor and whatnot. You know, I think that it's insane when you see people stick to these strict parties when, you know, it's known that one guy's crooked as can be and out for money and out to hook up with the federal government as much as possible to you know, infringe on your rights. You know, it's to me it's just more of the it's like, you know, it's so ingrained in these people's heads that they have to go one way or another. And that's the problem, is just breaking all types of programming whatsoever, whether it be that, or, you know, the only thing you should be rooting for, you know, it's not like a baseball or football game, you know what I'm saying, and that's how they turn it into. It's, you know, waving the Democrat flag, and, you know, they're worshiping at the altar of these scumbags who, you know, who are responsible for what we're going through right now by not standing up.
The other thing, too, besides it just being a distraction, it's also like a protection. It's like a shield, because people will not look at it this way, right? If you're a Democrat and you're one of these hardcore Democrats, okay, and, you know, there's a – like, let's say somebody tells you something about somebody in your party, you're probably not even going to investigate it because you don't even want to hear it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not even going to dig into it, and you're only going to dig in to the other side, to the people you don't know really well. Now, the Republicans, on the other hand – are going to do the same thing. Now, if you go to a Republican and tell them, hey, this guy in your party, this, that, and the other thing, well, they're not even going to want to hear it, and they're just going to want to turn and trash the Democrats, of whom and which they don't know as well as their own people. So it's like internally nothing ever gets done. Nobody ever does anything internally, because it's like it's almost like they worship the God, the Republican God and the Democrat God or something. It's unbelievable. It's like I don't – it makes them shut off all reasonable thinking. And judge.
I want to add to that too, that it doesn't just stay there either. But, you know, the sheeple mentality, sadly enough, also transforms over into you know, into the truth movement. Sad to say, but it really does. You know, you have these certain people that you know, right away will say, you know, hey, this researcher is crap or whatever. You know, I don't like his theory, and they'll all gang up on him, and it's just really ridiculous when it's like, you know, this person's just out for the truth like you are, and they're not really attacking anybody. They're just, you know, showing it in a different way, or, you know, and it's just, I think that it's so ingrained in us in reality to not keep an open mind no matter what the topic is, you know, that it's a problem. And I don't think that we'll ever get totally out of it. But, you know, if we could even just get people to the, you know, to the 75% there, I think that our lives would be a lot better as far as people demanding accountability from the people that have us in chains. And, you know, the fact that they've gone unchecked for so long just shows that people are just happy with, you know, give me a flat screen TV, a brand new iPod. You know, I'll go out and work my 40 a week, and, you know, and I'm not going to care until I'm ready to retire, and I can't retire, you know, comfortably. And that's the sad state of affairs that most people get in. You know, it's just the wife, the kids, 2 hours a week, going to the bar every Friday night, and they, you know, they think they're doing well, and then they don't care though until they get screwed over, whether it be their Social Security they paid into for all these years or something else, and by then it's too late. You know, it's too late to care about politics when you're already in your 60s or your 70s, you know, and it just sucks that in general, we're not able to make much changes as far as the big scale goes with politics. But I think that, you know, local politics is a way that you can, but it, yeah. you still have to be in an area where liberty is possible. I mean, is popular. In my area, it's not that popular. Go ahead.
No, that's the thing, because with small politics, it can actually be some real people involved where not everybody's friggin' bought off and you know, paid for with all, you know, campaign contributions and all this. When it's just like local city level and stuff like that, you know, that's where you could tend to find some real people in it, I would think. Why don't we shift it a little bit? I kind of wanted to talk about the mega upload situation, unless you wanted to add some more to this before we kind of went off on another direction.
No, I really don't. As far as you know, as far as that goes, I just think that, you know, people like us, people that are activists and researchers and whatnot, we do have to, you know, when these things happen, that's our time to throw our two cents in at the dinner table.
That's what we have to do.
Exactly, and that's the only way that we're going to ever, you know. And here's the thing too: if you see a bunch of idiots making a bunch of comments, you know, on the Boston Globe or, you know, any one of these, well, go in and it takes you probably a minute or two to log in and just write a comment, and maybe five or six people might look at it a little bit different. You know, don't go totally not, but just say to them, hey, you know, this is not a party thing. Let them know that you're not of any party, you know, politics, and just the fact that you're just upset about, you know, the whole state of things in general. And maybe, we can take little steps by doing that, you know.
Yeah, and while you were gone, I actually kind of brought that point up that, you know, this is the time for people like us to bring it up. And the reason being is because this is the type of issue that, where it's a sports issue and a political issue, you can kind of connect a lot of things, and you can kind of bait in the people that normally wouldn't look at any type of libertarian type issues or anything like that. Because now it's affecting their world. It's affecting their precious sports world. And don't get me wrong, I love sports. But you know how it is. I mean, I'm sure you're the same way. You got a couple friends that are awake. The rest of them, they don't give a crap about this stuff, but they'll talk about sports all day. So
right.
this is the type of issue where when they're talking about it, like you're saying, this is it's almost our responsibility. Where, you know, what we do every day, you know, this is when we need to jump in those conversations. This is when, whoa, what do you mean this, that, or why are you trying to make it a left right issue, or what do you mean he's wrong, or what do you mean he should be this, or what do you know what I mean? Exactly, right. Like you're saying, take the time, go on these websites. You know, I was gonna call the sports radio station the other day. I was so pissed off, Justin. I heard the guy talking, and this is what he said, and I forget which personality it was. I'm gonna go back in their archive and dig it up though. He was like, this is how idiotic he was, and people just shows you people do not get it at all. It's like he says, if it was a Republican president in the White House, Tim Thomas would have went. What do you mean he would have went? No, he tells you right there he wouldn't have went. I mean, how stupid are you? He
that's
said
how
it's
the,
not about a
that's
party,
how the,
dude.
The pundits try to twist people, too.
Oh, my God, dude. It's like – it just sounds so idiotic to me. I don't get it. And now I know why I never got politics, because you're not supposed to get it. It's for stupid people. I mean, it's ridiculous, dude.
It is.
I don't mean to say that. I don't ever mean to insult anybody, because we were all in different places at different times as far as knowing things. I'm just saying, I really feel you gotta.
You know what though? I will say something. They're not stupid. They're just uninformed and ignorant, and will not be informed. And they rely on. They rely on certain websites like Snopes and all these other websites that, you know, that have totally lied on so many issues. You know, the only thing I think Snopes is reliable about is computer problems. Besides that, everything else that has to do with that website is just total whatever propaganda they want to spit.
Yeah,
you know.
And people show it to me like, look, you're wrong. Look what Snopes says. Dude, I don't care what Snopes says. Are you kidding me? I just researched this thing for 3 or 4 months, and you're going to think you're going to go on Snopes, get a one-line answer, and tell me I'm wrong because Snopes says so? Get out of here, dude. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no,
I know
a lot of mainstream
people that think that's like – they think that is like digging into the world of the unknown or something. You know what I mean?
Well, Snopes and also too Wikipedia. Like, you know, and don't get me wrong, because I like Wikipedia as a general source. Like, say I don't know about a topic, I'm gonna go and see first what does Wikipedia say about it, and then I'm gonna say okay. Then I'm gonna see what I'm gonna Google next on it. You know, but if someone says, you know, brings up you know, say a secret society I've never heard of or whatever, you know, then I'm going to go and see what Wikipedia says about it. And then from there, I'm going to go and see what I need to go, you know, and it's just it's not bad for a first research page, but people using it as a source to try to debunk something is insane.
Yeah, it is insane. Because, guys, here's what it is. It's an online encyclopedia. Nothing more, nothing less. And the regular people like me and you can contribute and change things in there. So how are you going to try and tell me that everything in there is right? It's not. But it's a great reference point. It's a place to start, and then you research upon that. But when you go there, you should know that you're getting the mainstream answer to things. They're not gonna, you're not going to go in there and find the entrance to Hollow Earth or anything. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
Seriously.
Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing, though, that really kind of bends things is the fact that people actually there's actually groups out there like the Israelis were actually or one of the American Israeli lobbyists were actually teaching weekend courses, you know, to huge audiences on how to edit Wikipedia, because editing Wikipedia is something tough. I've never even attempted to do it. That's what this was for, was just editing Wikipedia. It happened like a year ago. They announced it. I'm sure it's still going on. You know, of course, that's one of the biggest things that you'll see out there is the Israeli Zionist people that are paid to go and just promote Zionist propaganda and go against anything anti-Zionist, you know, on the internet, Facebook, Wikipedia, et cetera.
Well, that's a great way to do it. I mean, look how many people go to it. And you know, they go to it and swear that it's gospel. Like, it's the absolute truth, you know? And anybody can go in there. I mean, a little kid can go on there and change something without knowing the facts. It happens all the time. Are you still there?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you cut out for a second. Sorry, I missed some of your...
Yeah, sorry. No, I said, you know, anybody can go on there. A little kid can go on there and change it. So, I mean, to say that, to try and debunk something and tell somebody they're wrong and put a Wikipedia article in front of them is laughable. Wikipedia is great to look up, oh, what date was the Vietnam War? You know, what date was this? What date was that? It's great for that. But, you know, trying to debunk something, no, it's not exactly. That's not what it's for. All right, so, you know, we have this mega upload thing in the news, right? It's all over the news. Mega upload, for those of you that don't know, I'll bring you up to speed real quick. Mega upload, one of the biggest file sharing site on the web. And, of course, there was a lot of pirated content, but that is not what it was only for. And I would tend to say, actually, that a lot of the stuff on there wasn't pirated. I mean, I know a lot of people that would, you know, just share things from their computer, large files, things that were too big to send, or, you know, people would store their photos on. Of course, there's going to be a lot of pirated stuff, but that's not the only things that were up there. Now, you know, they raided these guys, and they're putting it all over the news. They're this, you know, big criminal organization, and they have, you know, $500 million in assets, which is true. They have that money. They've made a lot of money or whatever. Their owner, Kim.com, he is known to party like a rock star. There's pictures of him everywhere, you know, on big yachts. And, I mean, he looks like Puff Daddy. He looks like a Puff Daddy video, this guy, the stuff he's doing, all right? So, of course, they flash all that out there. You know, look at this guy. Look how he's living. He's a computer pirate, yada, yada, yada. Now, you know, you might want to wonder, why Mega Upload? Why did they pick out Mega Upload out of all the sites? Now, they're saying that, you know, because Mega Upload has all this pirated content. Well, first of all, before I even to get in what I think is the real reason, did you know that Mega Upload, I don't know if you knew this, Justin, Mega Upload actually made a deal with Universal Music and a few of the other music companies to give them access to the Mega Upload website so those companies could come on there every day, and they had people that did it. They could go on Mega Upload every day and remove a certain number of links that would link to any of their copyrighted material. And they were given like 5,000 keys a day, different companies. Some were given 10, 20,000. You know what I mean? They had like they could remove 5,000 links. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
So they had made a deal with these companies. So it was like, wow. You know, yeah, so they're coming after a company that had already been playing ball with them, that had get this company. Right. I mean, what website is going to let the music companies have access to their site and just go in there and take down content? I mean, come on. And that's what they were doing. They were letting them go in there and take down thousands and thousands of links that people would leave that would go back to any of their content, so they're not losing money on that or whatever. So then this raid happens. And you think, okay, you know, they make it sound like it's because it's this big pirate site. Everybody's sharing stuff on there, yada, yada, yada. Well, listen to this, all right? You guys know about Google Music. Maybe you don't. But Google is about to launch a music service. Maybe it already did launch. Justin, do you know if it already launched?
I'm not sure, actually.
Okay, well, anyways, Google's starting a thing like very much like iTunes. Now, it, as with anything, you know, they make it look like Google and Apple are competing and, you know, all this crap. So they're coming out with their own music service, just like iTunes, similar, except you're not going to have to sync your devices. It's always going to be synced because you're always signed into Google everywhere you go, as you know. I mean, you're signed in across all this crazy stuff, right? Well, Mega Upload was actually about to launch their own cloud-based music service, okay, that would go in direct competition with Google. I'm sure the prices would be a lot less than $1.49 a song. And here's the kicker, guys. This is why Mega Upload got raided. I mean, this is my opinion. When I have an opinion, I like to tell you it's an opinion. But this is fact. This was going on. So this looks like clear motive to me. Clear motive, okay? Mega Upload was starting a cloud-based music service, much like Google Music, okay? But what they were going to do, guys, is they had it set up so the artist was going to make 90% of all the money. The artist was actually going to be able to cut out the big record labels. And that's why they got shut down. They actually had it set up so even when users were downloading songs for free, the artist was still going to get compensated. And then when songs were bought, 90% of that money was going to go directly to the artist, and it was going to cut out the big record companies like Sony and Universal and all this. And it, not only was it going to cut out their money, Justin, what else does it do? It cuts out their control over these people. It cuts out their control over the message that the music puts out, right? Now, if you have all these musicians going to Mega Upload and uploading all their songs onto there, and they're getting 90 cents back on the dollar. Now, Mega Upload doesn't even have to charge. They could charge half of what Google Music charges, so everybody's going over there now because the music's half price, and then all the artists are getting 90 cents on the dollar, so they're still getting way more than they would with Google or iTunes, way more. They were getting like 13 cents per song, and the songs were like $1.49, dude, and the artists were getting like 13 cents of that. So now they're going to get 90%. So they got shut down for that.
Yeah, the whole industry is insane, and for that activity to go on before that, it just shows it was a blatant setup from day one. And I think that, you know, it sucks nowadays because these facts will never be heard. You know, you'll never hear them on the mainstream media. They'll never talk about this on CNN or anything else. And I think you're bringing up some really valuable points. You know, and once again, you have all these. These people blaming the pirators for, you know, for stealing music. When I mean, in reality, I don't see that it really hurts these artists so much. Someone brought up the other day that it's not the artist that gets hurt on it. It's the sound engineers and guys like that. But, you know, I said, it's very simple. I mean, nowadays you have a million people that, you know, just own a, just bought some equipment and think they're a sound engineer. I mean, so, you know, if they're making $30,000 a year, I don't know. It's kind of bringing it a little off topic, but I just think that it's just, I don't know, it's people worshiping this music industry as well. But,
oh, yeah, and this would get rid of a lot of that. I mean, this, because of the music industry, I mean, these people that are put in front of you, like, as you know, they're very much controlled. Their message is controlled. They put out a certain package and present it to you. Now, if you with this Mega Upload thing that was, it was called I think it was called Music Box or something like that. I have to dig up the thing in a minute and look at it. But here's what they were gonna do. You say you're an artist. Okay, rather than going to the record label, letting them sign you, rape you with all your money, you're getting like 10%, 20%, whatever the hell you're getting, right? Now you just go to Mega Upload, you just upload the music to them. They sell it for only, say they sell it for 50 cents instead of $1.50, right? What's that going to do? Well, that's going to bring a lot of users over. A lot of people are going to buy music off Mega Upload as long as they have a good selection, right? They're going to be 50 cents instead of $1. And then out of the 50 cents, well, you're keeping like 45 cents of that. That's a lot more than you 10 cents that you were getting off the $1.49 song, you know what I mean?
And you're going to get rid of more because people think it's a deal, you know,
yes,
and they're going to
spend
them
more.
Right.
Yeah, you're cutting out the whole record label owning you. I mean, those some of those, and I don't feel bad for musicians. I mean, a lot of these people are well paid, but some of the people that aren't really rich, I mean, they're slaves to their record labels. I mean, they really are. And this would cut that right out. I mean, this would be huge. I think this would have huge effects on the whole industry. I mean, I really do. I think it would hurt Google a lot. I think it would hurt iTunes a lot. I think it would kill Universal, Sony Music, BGM, all these big labels, man. I'm telling you, there would be a lot of artists going over there. And they – I don't know specifically how they came up with the number 90%, but I'm thinking the other 10% is probably they throw it in a kitty. And they give that to the people when their songs are downloaded for free. Because they said that. If you're an artist and your songs get downloaded for free, you're still going to get paid. You're not going to get paid, obviously, 90 cents or 90 cents in the dollar, but you're still going to get something. I mean, that's awesome, dude.
Well, you know, I really got to say that I give it up to artists like Immortal Technique and Vinnie Paz, a few others that have put out free LPs. You know, and basically just said, you know, hey, get it around. And you know what? These guys, they're still, and these guys like that are not a slave to the record labels. And I got to say that. And they're still doing all right. So, I mean, I think that really how much money, you know, like you said earlier, you know, the 13 cents that goes to the artist. I think if artists just, you know, go around the record labels, you know, I wish that more would do that. And I, you know, there's an example of a few that do it in rock and rap. I know, you know, R.A. the Rugged Man. And like I said, Vinny Paz, I know he had some deal, but he also has some that he puts out with no deal, you know, Immortal Technique. That's a, you know, I think that it's a perfect example of people going and putting in hard work and getting out of it, whatever they're getting back. Yeah, they're not known by 10 million people like Jay-Z are, but they make a good living and they don't have to, you know, do any of these weird things that the rest of them do.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what needs to be done. I think that's, you know, that's where this was going. That's where this whole mega upload thing was going. And that's why they shut them down. I mean, that it's not just because they're a file sharing website. They chose them because of they were trying to take out the record labels, basically. I mean, they were going to sink those labels. That was going to hurt them a lot, dude. That would have hurt them a lot. And here's another thing, too. People say, you know, they do stuff like this, and then they come out with the legislation, okay? This wasn't because of SOPA or PIPA. They've had these guys under investigation, supposedly, for 2 years. At least that's what they're saying, okay? I don't know, man. It just goes to show you don't compete with Google. I'm telling you, because Google is the government. You know, Google is, Facebook is. You're not going to go out there and they're going to run the internet, and you're not going to do something that's going to drastically change that. You know what I mean? Kind of like how that Diaspora kid died or killed himself supposedly. It's just like that.
Exactly. You know, the whole thing is there is no more underdog stories anymore. You know, all these stories, these people that come nowadays and are this, you know, rags to riches stories. It's all lies, and that's why they had to make the movie about Zuckerberg to make you believe in that whole thing. The main thing about all this stuff is that these people are hand-chosen. Yeah, they may have a good idea, but by the time it's going to come to market, they've already been given money by, you know, groups like Brian's article broke down about Facebook. I don't know if you've done a show on that yet, but, you know, either way – just to recap, well, hey, that'd be something if you wanted to get into it. But real quick, you know, just what I was saying, though, is you know, there's going to be no more new guy, you know, someone like me or Brian or, you know, some computer whiz out there in California right now is not going to be able to come up without having one of these big corporations arm around him. And that's it. It's Coke and Pepsi now. Google and
Google and Facebook or Apple.
Apple and Microsoft. Exactly. It's your you know, same thing. Nike and Reebok, etc. And that's the problem with everything. We're so corporatized, it's insane. And it's gonna keep continuing and until there's only like three corporations that own everything in the world. Yeah. Now I think there's like 9 or 10. So
yeah, and they're gonna, you know, let me ask you something, dude. What's extradition for? Hey, when you extradite somebody, that's for murder, right?
Yeah, they're going to extradite
these guys to the United States for copyright infringement. What a friggin' waste.
You know, and I want to talk about people wasting, like, you know, people that bitch about their tax money getting wasted. You know, and I understand it's a big thing, but when you look at the big scope of it, I just can't even think of even hearing that debate until you take the wars out of the equation, because, you know, we're spending, you know, $3 million per bomb. And, you know, and even the people that are not involved with the wars are driving around in $100,000 Cadillacs and getting a flat tire and blowing them up and getting a new one. But, you know, let's just get back to, like, you know, the taxes of this whole thing. It's just insane how they spend and it doesn't matter. And then people fight about these little things. These little taxes are going to put up. Anything you hear like that is really just a drop in the bucket, you know. But I think I lost my original point there. But you know, it's just you know, we're a total corporate nation. That's it.
Yeah, America is not a nation; it's a company. Basically, it's a big corporation.
You're 100% right.
I mean, that's really what it is. That's really what it is. Well, I pretty much brought up, you know, what I wanted to. What do you got? What's on your mind today? What have you been talking? I know you did a couple of other random shows here and there. What have you been talking about?
Let me think. The other night it was I was on Freethink Radio for a little while. I was on a roundtable show. We basically were just talking about, like, you know, the problems with the problems with the movement nowadays and stuff like that, and you know, and how Occupy Wall Street was totally co-opted and was a start from the beginning. But I think you guys have probably all heard me rail on about this stuff before. I'm trying to think of, this new ACTA law, I was just trying to read up on it. I don't know much about it. Have you got a chance to look into that?
I mean, I know the basic premise that it's similar to SOPA, but it's more of an international thing, but I haven't read the exact, what exact rules are different, what applies. No, not really too much. I haven't read into it. I mean, I know what it is, but I haven't really studied it. What's up?
No, I'll tell you the truth. I haven't read enough about it either. I was just bringing it up. Trying to think. Actually, there is something I want to talk about. Yesterday, right in the town next to me, I don't know, Brian, if you saw this on your news, but the whole thing where you had four cops get arrested by the FBI on, you know, for messing with the illegal, you know, or for messing with the Mexicans and profiling them, not even illegals, you know, necessarily. You know, cause the thing is, East Haven, Connecticut, where it happened is right next to New Haven, Connecticut, which is a lot of, a very big, you know, Spanish population. So the cops have been targeting them for, like, you know, the last few years. It's been a big thing. Well, anyway, the idiot mayor goes on the news. And they ask him, what do you think about, you know, the Latino problem, right after the FBI goes and arrests these four guys? And he says, the exact quote, something like, I'm going to go home and make tacos. He says it right to a Hispanic reporter. You know, it's been making the national news. I'm surprised you haven't heard of it yet.
No, I did. I heard of it a little.
Oh, it's totally insane. And the thing I brought it up for is I wanted to say – this is something else that just it's so much more of a divide and conquer thing. You know, we have, you know, these towns that are right next to each other, you know, these cities are right next to each other. And, you know, the fact that there's, you know, they pretty much made it good for you know, Mexican people and not even Mexican, but Hondurans and, you know, to come there and work. It's like one of the biggest cities to do that. So in the towns around it are getting pissed. However, they want to go and profile these people. The basis of the problem is this. You can't blame these people that are getting kicked out of their country or, you know, have these drug wars going on and getting out of there just because they want to, you know, come here and get a job. You know, rightly so. Now, here's the other thing that people are mad about it. But the thing is, for him to go off and say a statement like that, it just, you know, it makes the divide and conquer issue so much more. And this is the same place where we had, you know, white cops went and shot a black kid to death back about 10 years ago, Malik Jones case. And it's in, and this is the thing, guys, when the economy crashes, you know, there's going to be huge race riots. And I think that all these little things, you know, they don't have to be set up. I'm not saying they're you know, they're set up in advance. But, you know, all these little things are going to make it that much worse, and they're going to make it, you know, to where people are scared. And it's already that way, to where people are, you know, nervous to come out of their house and stuff. But, you know, I couldn't believe that he would go and say something like that at a time. You know, obviously, right there, you just give the easy answer of, you know, no, you know, we're not targeting anyone, even though, you know, whatever. I understand he's not going to throw his police department right, you know. I understand he's not going to throw him under the bus, but it just was a bad comment. Now, granted, is there a million other bad comments that have gone on in the country, and a million things worse? Yes, and I think that it doesn't need to be harped on, but I just wanted to bring that up as an example. It's something that's very close to home because I know the whole situation very well, and you know, I just think that it's going to be really bad by then, because, you know, nowadays it's, think about it, even in the movement, you have so many people that just blame the Zionists. So many people blame just the Vatican, and, you know, and I'm I get into both sides of it. I do say the Vatican is more, but I think that both are, you know, both have a say in it. But the people that just sling mud at one or the other, or the people that blame the Muslims, the people that blame the Mexicans, the people that blame the blacks, you know, so and so. This is 2012, and this has not stopped. You know, the fact of it is that it's not going to stop until we get these people out of our lives and destroying countries on purpose, forcing, you know, people to go somewhere for and compete with jobs. Now, with people like me who I don't even bother anymore looking because I can't get a job. And it's insane. And this is going on all over the country. And I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take to make things better. But I don't see it getting any better anytime soon. I don't know. That's really all I wanted to say about that. But I don't know if you wanted to expound on that or.
I didn't really know too much about the situation. But what an idiot, huh? I mean, really.
Yeah.
You guys mm-hmm. really out of tune. I got a story that actually just came in while you were talking about that, getting back to the mega upload thing. Now, I was telling you that a lot of people didn't use it for pirating, which is true. A lot of people would use it as like an online locker storage. I mean, you could store tons of stuff there. People like us, let's say, investigating something, say like 9/11, all right, and you throw all your pictures in there, all your videos, all your documents. And then what happens? The FBI comes in and shuts the website down, right? So all these users – they want to sue the FBI now. They're trying to get a case in federal court against the FBI if they don't get the site back up and get all – they have work documents. I mean, all types of stuff is in there. You know what I mean? Wow. And they weren't doing anything illegal. And what's going to happen now? I mean, is the FBI going to come after people by going after their IP addresses, anybody that ever shared any copyright content on the – I mean, this is a sticky situation, man. I don't mean to make the whole show about it, but this is important. This is really – this is important stuff because this is the start, I believe, of a lot of this nonsense.
I think so too, and I think another big thing is on I think it's the 23rd. I may be wrong about the date, but I don't know, maybe the 23rd of February or something like that. It may be even sooner. I don't know, but that Google is going to go into their new mode of just taking any information that they want from your, you know,
yep.
whether Eve. It be.
Yep. Any site of yours, your Gmail, YouTube, whatever. Yep.
Exactly.
And there's another story that just came in. Alan just posted about Twitter. You know, you just had this Saudi prince or whatever buy into Twitter. He bought a big stake of it, like $300 million or something the other day. Now it seems Twitter has this new content, this new censorship thing where certain tweets, depending on what you write, are being withheld in certain countries. So if I made a certain tweet about a certain issue and say you were in country A and you went to read my tweet, Justin, it would say this tweet from Real News Online has been withheld and it'll put the name of your country.
Wow.
How about that for censorship?
It's going to get worse and worse until the only things that are left on there, it will be the big three or big five, you know, whatever it is, news stations, and they're going to have a couple alternative ones to you know that get no farther than it's just going to be disgusting by the time they're done ripping this internet apart. You know, the thing that really bothers me about it also is the internet licensing. If they actually go and force everybody to which is going to be eventual, I'm saying, you know, it might take 5 years, it might take 10, but eventually you're going to need a license. And you're going to have to register your IP with everything, and not that they don't already have this information, but still, it's going to be a
hassle on purpose to keep the small guy down. You're going to have to pay all these outrageous fees, registration fee, license fee. What about, you know, we just want to get the message of truth out. We don't want to pay any money. That's why we do this. It's free, you know? I mean, people don't have money to pour into it. That's going to discourage a lot of people, Justin. If you got to go pay $200 for a license to get on the internet and broadcast, well, there goes half of the truth is that we're going to do a stream today.
Right, exactly.
But it's not going to affect the big corporations. I mean, what's $200? Nothing.
Yeah, no, it never does, and that's the whole thing. Everything is only done to cripple us. We don't have big lobbies. We don't have, you know, we're not part of the agenda. They can't use us any way, shape, or form. The only thing we're doing is putting out news to counter their agenda. So yeah, they don't, you know, they're going to do it in a way to where, you know, everybody just, you know, it's a boiling frogs in a pot thing. I've said it a million times, but that's what they're doing. But, you know, they've really accelerated it now. And I think that, you know, they give everybody a win like SOPA. Now that they did that on purpose. You know, they went and they put some ridiculous thing together, and now they're going to say, oh, well, we toned it down a lot. This one just does target the pirates, and you're not going to see Google going and blacking out their site or Wikipedia or any of these other sites like they did before, because, you know, they're going to, you know, half agree with it. That was just a sign that made people think that it still matters, that, you know, that Congress is not still owned and the Senate's not, you know, still owned 100%. So I think that it's really, you know, just to placate us, really, just like everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Everything's done for a reaction. Almost all the stories we see, it's because we're meant to see them. They want us to see them. Very few of the things we dig up, we actually dig up, and they're not floated out there for us. You know? I mean, from the beginning. I mean, at first. And then we dig upon that and find out the real truth about it. But a lot of the stuff that you see flash in front of you, I mean, it's because they want you to see that. I feel the same way about the SOPA thing, because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, we beat it, we beat it, we beat it, and then here they are doing something that's just absolutely ridiculous. Well, at least we beat SOPA, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what's made it done. It's made you think that the whole checks and balances thing still works, and that there's still people that still care about the average, you know, Tom, Dick, or Harry.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I might as well bring up the Facebook thing a little bit while we're on here. You know, guys, you know, the tracking that these sites are doing. Okay, now you guys know about Facebook. You guys know about the new timeline. You guys know about all the privacy issues within Facebook. But here's something you probably didn't know. Any site, okay, any site anywhere on the internet that has a Facebook like button anywhere on it, okay, that site is tracking where you go next. Now, chances are you might go to one site in between that doesn't have a like button, but chances are the next one's going to have it. So even when you're not on Facebook, even when you're not a member of Facebook, never mind being signed in, you don't even have to be a member. All these sites with the like button are tracking where you're going and reporting it back to Facebook. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Facebook was started, guys, okay, in the year 2003, all right? Now, Facebook launched in 2004. So Zuckerberg and his buddies, if you pay attention to what they float out as the so-called official story of Facebook in the Social Network movie, they worked on this project. I mean, not even for a year, okay? They worked on it in 2003 and in 2004 and in, like, January or so. They launched the thing, and the thing was, like, viral within weeks, okay? I mean, I've been a member since 2005. There were already a few million people on there. You know, there was the CIA had bought a company called, it was InQtel Technologies, I think, and they were running a data mining project. Okay, guys, and what data mining is data mining is basically trying to get as much information as you can off people. Now, they had a project, okay, they had a project from the Information Awareness Office, okay? And they have – wait till I show you their logo. Did you see the logo, Justin, with the pyramid and the CNI?
Yes.
Yep. That's like I call that the original Facebook logo.
Right.
So anyways, the IAO, we'll call it for short, okay? The IAO under direction of the CIA had a data mining project where they were going to use the internet to get as much information about people as possible, okay? Including where they are, who they're with, where they're going, what they're doing, what they like, what airline they take, you know, everything about people, okay? They were going to use the internet to do this, and the guy that was overseeing this project, his name is James Breyer, the guy that was the chairman of the board, okay? He gave Mark Zuckerberg almost $13 million for the start of Facebook, and he's not mentioned anywhere. If you watch the movie The Social Network, there's this guy, Peter T. Justin, have you seen the movie?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay, so there's this guy, Peter Thiel, and he gives Zuckerberg $500,000, and it's a huge deal. And, yeah, that would be a huge deal. That's a lot of money to start a website. That's plenty of servers, plenty of interns, whatever you got to do, right? $500K. So Zuckerberg moves out to California, and then Facebook really takes off. They put Facebook headquarters out there in Palo Alto, and the company goes huge. And this guy, Peter Thiel, and this is important because in the movie they make a big deal about it. This guy, Peter Thiel, he gets 7% of the company with his $500,000 investment. Now, like I said, $500,000 is a lot for a website, but he's buying into the company, so it makes sense, right?
Right.
Now, they took this other guy's name off the masthead, Eduardo Saverin, okay? They screwed him. We won't get into the whole thing, but they screwed him on some paperwork, basically. His percentage of the company went way down, and his name got taken off the masthead. His name got taken off the site as one of the owners of the site. They made a big stink about this. So these guys take that seriously, as would I. If I was one of the founders of Facebook and they took my name off of it, I'd be pretty pissed off too, okay? So they made a really big deal about this in the movie. So you have this guy, Peter Thiel, gives $500,000. He gets 7% of the company. Now, this guy, James Breyer, gives almost $13 million, which is almost 25 times greater than the other guy's investment. He's not mentioned anywhere, though. With that type of investment, he should own 140% of the company. He doesn't own any of it. His name's not anywhere. You know why? Well, because he works for the CIA, and he's running the data mining project. And what is the project? It's to find out all this information, just like Facebook does, except they're so smart, and you got to give it to the CIA again, man. They are smart. They're so smart that they made it cool for you to give all your information to them. They don't even got to dig for it. You just give it to them. Guys, do you think there's a website is going to run facial recognition off low-res pictures for free?
Of course not.
Of course not. Of course not, but they do. If you let Facebook tag you in one photo is all it takes. Any picture that's uploaded anywhere in the world by any user, they can identify it as you. All it takes is one photo for you to be tagged in. That's it.
You know, the whole thing is insane, and a lot of people don't see it. You know, and one little thing that they showed during the movie was the fact that the you know, they were into the finishing clubs. And I did a little looking into the finishing clubs. Now, the finishing clubs at Harvard are pretty much like your equivalent to your Yale Skull and Bones. They're no different. So my guess is that, you know, a lot of these kids are already juiced in, their parents and whatnot. And, you know, they maybe had the idea or whatnot, or it maybe was given to them, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, these finishing clubs think about if this came up at Yale and the kid happened to be a Skull and Bones member. Could you imagine how much everyone would be talking about it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the point, you know, that I'm just trying to make is that these all-exclusive clubs, I believe there's 8 or 9 of them at Harvard, and there's, I think, one other secret society there, too, besides that. You know, they're really, you know, it's no different at any Ivy League school. I believe there's even one there called the Owl Club. Too. So just to let you know how that.
Yeah, I see you actually posted a bunch of them for me on my page. Do you still have those handy? Maybe after the show, I could get them for you and put them up on the website so people can see them.
Yeah, I'll put a little something together on their finishing clubs.
All right, cool. Because when I do shows over here, kind of like when I do on The Last American, I think I'm going to do a blog for each show. Just kind of, you know, not that I'm going to get on after every show and write a huge blog. That's a lot. But I'm saying just to put some links up and some pictures and some articles, kind of like I do over there, so people can see some of this stuff. But, yeah, guys, I mean, it's clear as day. CIA, I mean, they had a project at the same time Facebook was being launched. The guy that was the leading of the project took $13 million and gave it to Mark Zuckerberg, and they kept it on the hush-hush. I mean, it can't get really any more obvious. Can it? I mean, the CIA started Facebook. They did. And that's why there's so many privacy issues, guys. That's why it seems so intrusive. It's because they're trying to get that information as bad as they can. They try and disguise it, and they do a good job. And look how they've done it, guys. They've made it so all these other website owners out there, myself included, okay, I have Facebook buttons on my site. You have to. People want to share things. You don't have them on your site, they're not going to come. And look how they've done it. They've made it so every website, even if you're not related to the CIA and you want nothing to do with them, you put their buttons up. And their buttons are tracking people for them. And you don't even know it. And you think it's cool. And the people that are clicking it think it's cool. And what do you think the like button's doing? Every time you click a like button, that's just building your profile more and more and more and more with them. If you click like on 700 different things and all these other things you ignored, they got a pretty good idea of what you're into. Think about it, Justin, right? That's what it's for.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. They're so smart the way they do it.
Yeah, no, it's insane. It's you know, and the fact is, you know, like you said in your article, when have so many people voluntarily given up so much information about themselves? You know, and even someone like me, you know, who's, you know, obviously aware of all this stuff, and yet I still went there, and the thing is, I really don't care what they know about me and whatever. But, you know, then again, you know, they have history right there, especially with this timeline thing that they're putting in. You know, supposedly it's going
to be. Oh, it's ridiculous. I could speak on it because I've had it. I've had it for like 5 months now. All right.
Well, I've seen just by on my own, just as far as like.
It's awful.
You know, going through like yours and a couple other people I know that are, you know, in the truth movement or, you know, whatnot.
Oh, you can see it when you come to my page?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't know. I thought only I could see it for right now.
No, everybody can see that. Like, for example, I'll go back like a few years on somebody's page, and I can tell exactly what they were into and exactly
specific
what they were
day.
Writing about at
you
that
go to
time.
Any day
right.
you want. Any day you want, right. Guys. Guys, you can go to a year, and it'll show you the top stories of the year, and God knows who's picking that. But then you can break it down by month. It'll show the top stories of each month. Then you can actually break the month down by individual days. It'll show the top stories for each day. Then you can actually break the day down, and you can see every story for every day. And you can see everything you've ever done, who you've become a friend with, what you've clicked like on, every status you've made, every picture you've posted. You'll see stuff pop up, and you'll just be like, oh, my God, dude. Like a picture of me and my ex-girlfriend from like 4 years ago just popped. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if it's on Facebook, it's there. I believe they are going to give you a certain amount of time between – you know, now and whenever the thing goes to remove whatever you don't want to remove, or maybe right like when it happens, to remove whatever you want to remove. But it's going to be, I don't know. I still think that it's still so much info out there that, you know, it doesn't matter anyway because it's already backed up. But still, if someone wants to go and look you up.
It's too accessible for the regular people too. You know what I mean?
Right.
We know
exactly.
They're going to have it, but regular people. And guys, I know you're going to say, oh, this privacy options, guys. You don't know the undertaking it would take to turn off all the privacy options on everything you would want to hide on the timeline.
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to do it. There's just so much stuff in there everywhere. And it's just,
and still, while trying to get information out.
Yeah, that's the thing. I need to keep my thing open.
Right. You know, and as far as mine go, I do have my page closed as far as only friends can see. But, you know, when I do write, you know, a note or an article and it ends up, being, you know, I want everyone to see it. It's so friends of friends, you know, so I end up just putting it for everyone. That way, if I post it in a group and someone says, oh, I can't see it, or, you know, so I mean, but, you know, as far as everything goes, you know, in a lot of ways, it's just easier to coax you into this. And, you know, some regular Facebook users might not be too affected by this, but I think the activists, especially, you know, people trying to get information.
Look what happened to Mike. Mike had one of his Facebook groups completely deleted, and he had over 5,000 people in it. Could you imagine that, Justin? If you got useless leaders up to 5,000 people and it just got deleted?
Yeah, I was a part of that group too. I remember when it happened. It was
why don't you tell us about it? Because I don't know. That's all I really know. Tell us a little more about it.
It was ridiculous. Well, I believe at the time too that he actually had gotten his account suspended for a while too. But the group was No to the New World Order or No New World Order, I believe, one or the other. And you know, it just all of a sudden, I believe they called it hate speech or something like that. Now here's Mike, who's an actual Jew, you know, and they're saying, you know, just for questioning, I'm not sure if it was the Holocaust or something that had to do with 9/11 or what, but yeah, they just erased the group and pretended like, you know, it never was there. Then another time, it was hijacked by a bunch of, you know, Ron Paul type supporters, you know, which is, you know, like I said, I'm not out there to hate the Ron Paul supporters, because we're all in the same fight kind of here. I just, you know, don't really see I don't see the whole voting thing as mattering, and I think if he, you know, you all know my feelings on it. I don't know. I said his name, so I forgot to give you what's the word for that? A disclaimer.
I feel the same way, but I just don't even want to waste my time on the guy anymore. Honestly, that's my biggest problem with it, is people wasting all the time on it.
Exactly.
That's the biggest problem. Into arguments, and then I get dragged. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna spend 1 minute on it, and then obviously I see you want to spend a minute on it too. But the one thing that bothers me about it is everybody is spending all this time watching these GOP debates and everything, and it's not like he's out there saying much truth. In fact, he's out there saying a lot of what people want to hear. You know, I mean, he's sticking to his message, you know, sound money and this and that, which I've kind of already seen through. I kind of think it's going to end up being, you know, like we said, you know, you can look up the article that I wrote about him. I believe Brian has one too. It's, you know, the stuff is out there about the gold standard going in, and you know, and something based on commodities in the future, and whatever. But you know, to make a long story short, everybody everybody out there knows that Diebold controls the election. So here's the deal: he only gets in if they rig the elections for him. So if not, then I don't, you know, I don't understand the whole purpose of it. And, you know, to me, you know, is there a few things that can happen positive out of it? Yeah, sure. I just think that no matter what happens, the monetary policy is going to stay in the hands of the few. So really, by sitting there and wasting time on a Republican campaign and this whole, you know, a whole year's worth of distractions, you know, I don't see, you know, if someone wanted to just talk about it a little bit and say, you know, hey, you know, look at stuff, maybe bring back some speeches he said in the past. But, you know, in reality, I think it just comes down to being a waste of time, because, you know, it's something to where, you know, we're not going to win either way. So I just think that right there, you're better off by casting a non-vote, you know, by not even showing up. And announcing it, though,
well,
letting people know.
I thought that was the plan. I thought that's what we were all going to do, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. Maybe I was reading too much into it. I just thought we were all against the two-party system, and we weren't. And the only way we would maybe vote for him is if he went independent, and that's still a huge maybe. But for some reason, everybody went back and bought into the election, and people are watching these debates that are nothing more than Hollywood. I mean, come on, guys. You guys already
know
this. How are you going to backtrack now?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, 100%. Whether I agree with him or not, I would have voted for him if he went libertarian, just to show that I'm against the regular party. I'm not even a big fan of the Libertarian Party. I feel there's a lot of sidestepping going on there. I actually had a little bit to not much.
It's not going to hurt. Just like the same reason you don't waste your time telling people not to go vote, because if they want to, whatever, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to make a difference.
Exactly.
But you just don't want to see them waste so much time. You know, you have all these people that could be there's so many things for us to be researching and talk. I mean, you have Fukushima that just happened this last year. I mean, that's not talked about enough. You have all these other events going on, but every two out of every three posts on my Facebook homepage is a Ron Paul picture or campaign message or action figure. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I agree. I think that you know, the main thing here is, could you imagine if we had all gotten together, you know, in our respective cities, you know, kind of like the Occupy thing, except, you know, without the MoveOn.orgs and without all those, you know, but just all the awake people, and gathered in, say, you know, the Green in New Haven, or, you know, wherever in Boston, or, you know, wherever the Occupy movements were all, you know, in New York City, you know, somewhere in particular. Everyone that was against the two-party system just showed up at these places on election day and actually made a big thing about it and actually just tried to make the news. I think that would make a lot more impact, you know, than going in and showing up at the poll and you know, casting your vote that, you know, doesn't matter anyway, because, you know, for one, they have that electoral college thing. For two, they don't count the, you know, they put dead people in if they have to, and, you know, the whole Diebold thing, and, you know, everything that we've already gotten into so many times. And just the fact that, you know, that this guy may not even be the guy that we think he is. So,
well,
that's
the thing,
you know,
with me, you know, I didn't want to waste any time, but people forced me into these conversations. So because of that, I had to do some research into it. And the guy talks out two sides of his mouth.
Exactly.
On the biggest issues. I mean, come on, man. Just come on. The whole thing is, I don't even want to make this a Ron Paul thing right now. It's you know, I don't know. It's like a year ago, it seemed like everybody in the movement knew the elections were a fraud. And nobody would be caught dead watching a GOP debate. Are you kidding me? And now it's like you got people
exactly.
driving around the country following this guy.
Exactly. You know, if people had said it in 2008 that everybody in the 9/11 truth movement would be following the Republican debate, you know, I would think, you know, maybe just to laugh at it, you know, just to, you know, but I can't. And you know what really bothers me is when I get in an argument with someone and they say, you know, or a disagreement with someone and they say, well, who would you rather have, Romney, Gingrich, or Obama? It's like, no, I'd rather have none of the above, you know, and you know, I'll tell you what, it like I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, if they want him in, he's going to be in. You know, your vote, you know, and that's the thing. You know, people say, well, at least, you know, even if you don't support the thing, well, you know, so, but it doesn't matter, because it's already, you know, I'm telling you, by June or July, every channel is going to be talking about that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's the next, you know, the second coming.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's awful, man. It's awful.
And
I waste so much time on it.
It's insane. I can't believe how many people, you know, are still saying, well, the media is ignoring them. Well, you know, they did that at the beginning of Occupy Wall Street. They did that at the beginning of, you know, what was the other thing? The Arab Spring. You know, they do that on things because nowadays it's just tricking you into thinking, well, the media is not covering it. So they're, and then when the media
is not covering
it,
so I had to get it on the internet. Like they don't know about
right.
that. They don't know about the
exactly.
internet.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you guys are the only ones on the internet. I mean, come on.
you know what? And I'm going to make this prediction. I don't really think any crazy internet stuff will come down. Or at least it's not going to be put forth right away until after the selection, because I think that it's almost like, you know, they're using the propaganda to, you know, they're you know, they're using all these activists, you know, for the Republican propaganda, you know, and it's almost like why get rid of it now if they're helping push our message, you know, and that's the thing.
It's unbelievable, dude, and I've said that in my piece that I wrote about it. Is, you know, you got all these people that are 9/11 truthers, and they've been bitching about George Bush for the last however many years, and about how he killed all these people, and yada yada yada, and put us in these wars, and all this. Now all these people are gonna go to bat for the next Republican, and it's a guy that hasn't even spoken for 9/11 truth. I mean, come on,
right.
man, it's unbelievable.
And the only thing that you know, I could understand. Okay, well, he's against the wars, but you know it. It's still, until I see these wars totally ended, You know, and right now, like you said, like I said, I've seen
everybody's against the wars, Justin, when they're running for office. Not, I mean, now
course.
They're not. Now some of them are for warmongers, but how many people have you heard say that?
Yeah,
Obama said it.
Of course.
Why are you gonna buy the same shit over and over again?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. You know, and here's the thing: is the wars will still be going on? Will still be, you know, they're still going to be going on because obviously right now, you know, we're enabling Israel enough to where they can go and attack Iran without us. And, you know, we may sit out, but I guarantee if he didn't acknowledge 9/11, what makes you think he's going to acknowledge the next false flag? Well, he did, you know, people say, well, yeah, he didn't vote for the wars, but he did vote for the first Afghanistan thing because, you know, either he fell for the 9/11 thing or he's part of the show, you know?
People fall
That's
for
it.
The advertising, dude. He's been cleverly marketed by the alternative media and the regular media with this great campaign of, oh, they're ignoring him, and, oh, he's for liberty and freedom, and people are buying it, hook, line, and sinker. And you have these people, they'll go out there, Justin, and they'll chant, end the Fed and all this. They don't even know what
right.
that means. They don't even know what the right. Fed's there for. They don't even know the contract's running out. They don't even know it might get replaced, you know, what it might get replaced with and where that might head us and what direction. I mean,
well,
you know, they don't – it's like they're just told to say these things and they just recite it and they think they're fighting for freedom. And really,
well,
you might be fighting for the globalist plan in the first place.
That's 100% – you hit the nail on the head. The whole thing here is that these people have been tricked into thinking that – a commodity-based economy cannot be manipulated. And that's far from the truth. And you can go back and you can look into things like, the tally sticks, you know, in England. And you know, that was a very good form of, a good form of something to use. It's nothing. It's just you can make anything into money. You don't need gold and silver. That's the whole thing that people are thinking. You have to, you know, it's all about just, you know, the people that are issuing it have to be honest. And until we get honest people, you know, until we get and here's the thing, it's a private thing. And we all know that, but you know, is the next one going to still be the same private families? And, you know, and until he sticks out the families and says, you know, in general, that, hey, this is a Rothschild thing, this is a Vatican thing, this is a so-called, you know, I'm not going to take it still sitting there and saying, well, it's just Ben Bernanke. It's just, a few guys, you know, just the Federal Reserve. And, you know, whatever comes out of it, it can be just as evil and can be manipulated just as bad, you know, if not worse.
Oh.
And then people will think that it's better, you know, and that's.
Listen, you know, people are saying, you know, I got something to tell you, you know, that people are saying that this guy is against globalism and all this, right? I have a video that I want to play for people, and, you know, right from his mouth, all right? I want you to hear this quote, and if I didn't tell you it was Ron Paul, you wouldn't believe it. There's nothing to fear from globalism, free trade, and a single worldwide currency. The effort in recent decades to unify government surveillance over all world trade and international finance transactions through the UN, IMF, World Bank, WTO, ICC, OECD, and the Bank of International Settlements can never substitute for a peaceful world based on true free trade, freedom of movement, a single but sound market currency, and voluntary contracts and private property rights. The ultimate solution will only come with the rejection of fiat money worldwide and a restoration of commodity money.
There it
commodity
is.
Money is voluntary and universally accepted, could give us a single world currency requiring no money managers, no manipulators orchestrating a man-made business cycle with rampant price inflation. So he's telling you right there he wants to go to commodity money.
Exactly. No, it's been a staple of his whole thing. And last night, in fact, I don't know if it was last night, but I saw YouTube videos of it up today, of Judge Napolitano talking about how we could do this with gold instead. Now they're already trying to get the neocons to run with it. And like I said, they're, you know, give it a few months, and that'll be it. Right now, right now they're working on the independents and the left-leaning people with the John Stewarts and the Bill Maher and people like that. You know, I wanted to say something. Brian the other day posted that in one of the groups. And he I believe he put something like, listen to what Romney said or something like that. And did you ever get any bites on that? Did anyone like it, or did they already
Nobody paid any attention to it.
Mm. We got to try that again.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I'll have it right here. I'll send it to you. I just put that out. One person did. One person did, but she believed that it was that person, but it was somebody that wasn't a Ron Paul bot in the first place, so it didn't matter. I'm going to give that to you right now so you have it, actually.
Oh, yeah, no, I have it in my arsenal. I have everything in there. Yeah,
good. Yeah, I mean, he says right at the start, there's nothing to fear from globalism.
Right.
Okay, well, you got you're preaching about these globalists, and Alex Jones is saying this and that, and blah, 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 and now this guy's telling you there's nothing to fear from it. So which one is it? I'm confused. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. Totally. Like I said, when I first saw that quote, I said, you know, this has got to be something that he didn't say. This has got, you know, but I, like you said, it's on video. I went and watched the video. This is congressional record. And anybody can go and look it up, and, you know, this is not some crazy thing just thought up by, you know, by me and Brian Staveley.
No, Justin. I'm going to play the video right now, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
How's that? Guys, you're going to hear it come right out of his own mouth. And if you saw the quote, you would swear it was one of these so-called globalist scumbags want to bring us into global government and a one-world currency. But as a matter of fact, it's coming right out of Ron Paul's mouth. Here it is.
The gentleman from Texas is recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask unanimous consent to revise and extend my remarks.
Without objection.
Yeah.
Mr. Speaker, the golden new era of the 1990s has been welcomed and praised by many observers, but I'm afraid a different type of new era is arriving, a dangerous one, heralding the end of 30 years of fiat money. If so, it's a serious matter that deserves close attention by Congress. There's nothing to fear from globalism, free trade, and a single worldwide currency. But a globalism where free trade is competitively subsidized by each nation, a continuous trade war is dictated by the WTO, and the single currency is pure fiat, fear is justified. That type of globalism is destined to collapse into economic despair, inflationism, and protectionism, and managed by resurgent militant nationalism. Efforts to achieve globalist goals are quickly abandoned when the standard of living drops, unemployment rises, stock markets crash, and artificially high wages are challenged by market forces. When tight budgets threaten spending cuts, cries for expanding the welfare state drown out any expression of concern for rising deficits. The effort in recent decades to unify government surveillance over all world trade and international financial transactions through the UN, the IMF, the World Bank, the WTO, the ICC, the OECD, and the Bank of International Settlements can never substitute for a peaceful world based on true free trade, freedom of movement, a single but sound market currency, and voluntary contracts with private property rights. Great emphasis in the last 6 years has been placed on so-called productivity increases that gave us the new era economy. Its defenders proclaimed that a new paradigm had arrived. Though productivity increases have surely helped our economy, many astute observers have challenged the extent to which improvement in productivity have actually given us a distinctly new era. A case can be made that the great surge in new technology of the 1920s far surpassed the current age of fast computers, and we all know what happened in spite of it after 1929. A truly new era may well be upon us, but one quite different than what is generally accepted today. The biggest error in interpreting today's events is the totally ignoring of how monetary policy in a fiat system affects the entire economy. Politicians and economists are very familiar with business cycles, with most assuming that slumps erupt as a natural consequence of capitalism, an act of God, or as a result of Fed-driven high interest rates. That is to say, the Fed did not engage in enough monetary debasement becomes the most common complaint by Wall Street pundits and politicians. But today's economy is unlike anything the world has ever known. The world economy is more integrated than ever before. Indeed, the effort by international agencies to expand world trade has had results, some good. Labor costs have been held in check. Industrial producers have moved to less regulated, low-cost, and low-tax countries. While world mobility has aided these trends, with all being helped with advances in computer technology. But the artificial nature of today's world trade and finance being systematically managed by the IMF, the World Bank, and the WTO are driven by a worldwide fiat monetary system has produced imbalances that have already prompted many sudden adjustments. There have been 8 major crises in the last 6 years requiring a worldwide effort led by the Fed to keep the system afloat, all being done with more monetary inflation and bailouts. The linchpin to the outstanding growth of the 1990s has been the U.S. dollar. Although it too is totally fiat, its special status has permitted a bigger bonus to the United States while it has been used to prop up other world economies. The gift bequeathed to us by owning the world reserve currency allows us to create dollars at will. And Alan Greenspan has not hesitated to accommodate everyone, despite his reputation as an inflation fighter. This has dramatically raised our standard of living and significantly contributed to the new era psychology that has been welcomed by so many naive enough to believe that perpetual prosperity had arrived and the bills would never have to be paid. One day it will become known that technological advances and improvements in productivity also have a downside. This technology hid the ill effects of the monetary mischief the Fed had enthusiastically engaged in the past decade. Technological improvements, while keeping the CPI and the PPI prices in check, led many, including Greenspan, to victoriously declare that no inflation existed and that a new era had indeed arrived. Finally, it's declared that the day has arrived that printing money is equivalent to producing wealth and without a downside. Counterfeit works. But the excess credit created by the Fed found its way into the stock market, especially the NASDAQ, and it was ignored. This set the stage for the stock market collapse now ongoing. Likewise, ignored
has
been
expired.
The excess capacity, malinvestment, and debt that permeates the world economy.
Back.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole thing there is, I think, you know, it's been a start from the setup, and I kind of from looking into it, I kind of call it the Ayn Rand, you know, von Mises, you know, conspiracy right there. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, these groups have been you know, were parts of the you know, they were funded by Rothschild money.
Yeah,
you know?
That's exactly what I was going to say, dude. The gold commodity, you know, that's run by Rothschild, and so is the IMF. So to make you think that the gold standard is going to take over and go against the IMF, it's how could they not be working together, right?
Exactly. And you know, and more and more lately, I've been seeing these commercials talking about for working in the global economics of the future, you know, like just words like that, just hearing it more and more, and it's just a total campaign to totally get people onto this global currency, and so I think that's the main reason why, you know, why he's going to be put in office so that they can change their monetary thing over. They may give us a couple freebies. Hey, it is what it is, but don't think that it's him doing it. Everything that he's doing is allowed, and everything that is going on is happening because they want it to happen. You know, they may end the wars because, hey, it's time to end the wars, but don't think they're not going to start a few new ones and maybe give us four, you know, they might give the U.S. 4 years off of wars. And on the other hand, they may just bring those soldiers home to, you know, to be around to police the streets, because the fact of the matter is that, the wealth, what happens when he tries to take out the welfare state that, you know, has been in existence for so long. And I'm not one to back up the welfare state, but you can't just take something that's been like this for as long as it has been and replace it with nothing. And as far as this dream of laissez-faire, you know, capitalism happening, it's not going to happen. I think it's going to be, you know, a bigger crutch to the corporations. I think that's the main thing here. And it's sad but true. And you know, this is a main thing that's been going on. And I think that's one of the reasons why I like to distance myself a little bit from the truth movement, because it's not exactly the 9/11 truth movement anymore, and it's turned into the Ron Paul movement, and I can't back some of these things. I think that they're totally ludicrous. And yes, I'm all for non-government, but you know, while we have government, you know, you can't take out all these groups. You have to clean them up. You have to clean the EPA up. You have to clean, you know, you can't let corporations go and pollute as they want and go and do this and that. You know, like I said, I'm for the smallest you know, government possible, but it's not possible to take out some of these things that they want to take out in reality, just to balance a budget that is all a lie anyway, and has been, you know, all this money and all this debt is to the Federal Reserve, you know, bankers. And until he goes, unless he's going to go, and if he announces he's going to go put the Rothschild family or someone like that on trial, I'll change my tone up in a second. But
or if he says he's not going to pay the debt, if he says screw the debt, screw them, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's a huge thing. You're honoring this debt, this however many trillion dollars that is owed to the Federal Reserve Bank. That's, you know, we're not talking about China. We're talking about the loans that have come to us that are straight garbage, bullshit loans straight from the Federal Reserve Bank that we owe trillions of dollars to. Well, he's talking about honoring that debt. So where's the truth in that? That, you know, all it's happening, it seems like they're going to get one last bailout, and then we're going to proceed with the new, you know, the new currency, in my opinion.
Probably is what's going to happen. It probably is. Well, you know what? We're going to play a quick song, guys. We'll be back in 3 minutes, so just stick with us. You've been listening to Real News Radio with Justin Cook and Brian Stavely.
The last thing we're going to get into, we have probably about 10 minutes or so left. We're going to get into the Joe Paterno thing. You know, he did die recently. You know, the for those of you that don't know, if you're not up on the sports tip, he's been the head coach of Penn State University for all these years. You know, it's strange that his death came so soon after the Jerry Sandusky case. You know, the whole thing was that it shows that Paterno had pre-knowledge of at least last July that this was going on and chose to hold it in. And I can wait till Brian gets back to get into it more, but I guess I'll start back. Okay. I just, you know, briefed him a little bit on Joe Pa and figured we'd get into that.
Yeah. I heard you. Well, it is rather strange that it does come right after all this news breaks out. You know, the conspiracy guy in me almost wants to say, gee, I wonder if he's, you know, if he really passed, you would think people down there would cover for a guy like this, but I'm not going to say that without any evidence or something like that. It's just a really, really odd time that I feel he's getting the easy way out, you know?
Exactly.
I was kind of just being a little sarcastic with that comment, guys. I don't want you guys thinking I'm trying to run saying Joe Pa's not really dead. It is rather odd, though. You know what I mean? If you were writing a story on it, the guy, you know, he gets the easy way out, and now he's not going to have to, you know, serve any jail time. Well, I mean, we don't even know if he was going to serve jail time, if, you know, charges were going to be brought against him. But, I mean, what were you going to say?
Well, say, you know, maybe we'll look into that and see for another show. But yeah, as far as we have now, in my opinion, like you said, he got the easy way out, and you know, it just shows really, in general, the guy probably, you know, in all reality, you know, I do want to show that there's two sides of the human. I think here we have this guy that you know might not have been a pedophile himself. He definitely was a pedophile enabler. But you know, he might have died of just a simple broken heart. Of, you know, football coaches are the most intense people as far as getting into, you know, their program and their game. And I know coaches that are like 40 years old and pretty much insane from sitting in a film room all, you know, a dark film room all day and clicking film on and off. You know, but I do want to say that, you know, it's not like, you know, here we have a guy that's a possible Knight of Malta. Definite Knight of Columbus, you know, so he was involved in the whole, you know, a little bit of the Vatican, you know, thing. I believe there's more if you look up that road too. But just sticking to the basics, you know, I guess he got off easy for, you know, just for in fact knowing about it. I think that anybody out here with any type of conscience, as soon as they found out, would have suspended the coach, and fired him at first availability, and really spoke out against it, and he didn't do so, and who knows if anyone else was hurt because of that, and who knows how long he did know.
Yeah, I just now they're gonna have all this stuff, honoring Joe Paterno, and they actually want to name the stadium after him. Are you kidding me? Can you guys? It drives me nuts. I can't, I can't deal with none of it. But this guy was turning a blind eye, at the very least, to kids getting raped.
Right. And like we said, there's we don't know how long that this goes back. But let's be real. The only reason that he even got nervous about it is because people found out. So it's not like, I'll guarantee that he knew for many years, because, the fact of the matter is, the reason that why we do know, just to let you know, is that he got all of his assets out of his name last July, right before the football season started. So, so obviously he knew something was coming down. So, it just begs to wonder, how long did this guy know? And the longer, if we find out, that he knew for years or something like this, then I feel anything that is named after him, or any of his awards, should really be looked at and say, hey, this guy is a pervert as well, or a pervert.
That's a slap in the face to any of those families.
Totally. Totally agree. And that's the problem here, when you get to these big sports universities that are so worried about these regulations and these scandals, that they'll hide something like this. And how many people knew and kicked it under the rug? And that's the thing that's got to change about America in general. I think that whistleblower, people need to be whistleblowers, need to, you see something wrong, say something. And I don't mean snitching, ethically wrong. Something, somebody gets murdered, raped, or whatever.
Yeah.
Child molesting, of course, number one. If that happens and you know about it, and you don't say anything, then you're a dirtbag. As far as everything else, I'm not telling you to see something, say something, like the ad is, but I really don't advocate people doing dirt with someone and then getting that person in trouble. But
a helpless child, Justin. I mean, Jesus, how could you not say something? How exactly. Could never mind say something? How could you not step in and do something? Huh?
Exactly.
What's his face there, McQuarrie? How does he leave that shower without dragging that kid out of there and smashing something over that freaking guy's head?
Exactly. That's the thing. If you walk through and see something like that, if you walk in and you
see a football team, he's not a man. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. If you walk in and you see something like that, and you don't at least remove that child from that situation, then you're just as big as a scumbag. You just turned your head on some little kid getting ass raped, or God knows
getting
what
raped.
Else is going on.
Yeah, and you can't say you didn't know what was going on. The old man is naked with the little boy in the shower. There's nothing else they could be doing. I'm sorry. They're not playing they're not playing baseball. Really.
Totally.
That really bothers me. And he was the one guy they didn't fire the first night when they fired everybody. They left him until the next day, when then the backlash got so bad about that, then they fired him. They were going to let him stay on the staff. The guy that seen it and didn't do nothing.
Right.
How do they ever think they're going to live this down on the road if they still got McQuarrie on their coaching staff? They're going to put their players in danger. I mean, they're going to get bottles thrown at them and all types of shit.
Anybody that had prior knowledge of this needs to be fully deposed, depositions. We need to get to, something needs to get to the bottom to anyone that had any prior information or any involvement needs to be. If they're not culpable of a criminal crime, then they need to at least just be thrown out of this university and thrown out of any position they hold. That's the bottom line when it comes to it.
Really?
If they were involved, then yes, hold them credibly accountable. If they knew about it, maybe
if they didn't know, Justin. Even if they were part of the program, I think they all need to go. Every single one of them. I'm sorry.
I agree.
If you're an assistant coach, you didn't know about it. Well, guess what? Sucks to be you right now. Go find another job. I mean,
yeah,
sorry.
I agree. There's a time when we have to, we have to look out for the victims, especially when it's a helpless kid in a situation like that.
Well, it really is. But yeah, I don't know. That's about I don't know. I think that's about all I got for today. I want to thank you for coming on to the Real News Radio, doing another show. You know, hopefully we can maybe get together and do a sports show before the Super Bowl at some point.
Yeah, we definitely will. Now, I want anybody out there it's going to be a great sports show when we do it, considering that Brian's a passionate Patriots fan and I'm a passionate Giants fan. And you know, there's one thing out there that you know, hey, we both love research, but, you know, everybody's got their side thing that they that they're interested in, and there's really no harm in it. And you know, it really annoys me when I see all these people saying to boycott this or boycott that or whatever, when it's just, you know, when it comes down to it, we spend 90% of our lives, dedicated towards, you know, finding the truth and helping other people. And you know, if we want to go and watch a football game, I think there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's going to be a great game. And, you know, I won't get into too much more on this. I just wanted to, you know, say that as a statement. I want to thank Brian for having me on as well.
Yeah, I think yeah, the whole New York Boston dynamic, I think, is really going to be good for our show. Even though we're not going to do, like, you know, it's not going to be local sports show. It's going to be, you know, national for anybody out there on the internet. Just having guys that, you know, our teams are constantly rivals and everything, I think it makes for a good show, especially where, let's face it, New York and Boston, they're big markets, and they do end up playing each other in a lot of these important games. So I think it's
right.
And Justin's like me. He can look at things objectively, and he, you know, he can tell you the strengths and weaknesses of his team. And, you know, neither one of us, no, I'm sure we both think our team's going to win, but we both know it's going to be a close game. I mean, it's going to be so close. And like Justin was saying, and it's a good point, you know, me personally, every few months, I get really burned out by this stuff. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of depressing news. I mean, it kind of wears down on you, and I need to take a week or two off, and it kind of happened to me over the last month. I needed to take a week or two off from the radio and just kind of do dumb stuff and just watch some things on TV, just do things I don't usually do. But I think we're going to do a sports show. If we would do it, you know, once a week or once every couple weeks or a couple times a month or whatever, it kind of helps take our minds off things, and it gives us a little break. And like he said, you know, we pour a lot of time and energy into waking people up, and it really does take up all our time. And we love doing it. We're not complaining about it. But for us to take, you know, 2 or 3 hours out during a week, that's fine. It's the people that take 3, 6, 7, 8 hours out every day and do those things,
right,
and don't look into anything ever. It's okay to do it once a week and get a little retreat from things. And that's, you know, that's, and now that the Super Bowl is coming, it's great because we both got our team in there. So it'll make for a good sports show. So all you guys, if you are interested in sports, you'll see the posts from us. I mean, you've seen these posts. Either you saw us on Facebook or on Twitter or on Real News Online or wherever. You friends with Justin, friends with me. We'll get the word out there, and, you know, within the next few days or whatever, and we'll let you know when it's coming up. And you'll probably want to tune in for that for sure.
And I also want to say we'll probably get into the Prince Fielder signing with the Detroit Tigers and the Yu Darvish signing with the Texas
Absolutely.
Rangers. Few other baseball things have been going on, you know, so
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It's going to be exciting year of baseball.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so guys, before we do the sports show, we'll post for you this show and the sports show, any show we do on this network, you can get pretty much right on this page where you got the stream. If you guys just scroll down a little bit on the Real News Radio page at therealnewsonline.com. You just scroll down a little bit. You'll see the archives right there. These more serious natured shows are in one section, and the sports shows have their own section, and everything's dated, and it has what the show is about written there. And you can just click it and play it. You can share it, download it. You have our permission. Share it wherever you want, any show. You know, of course, you can do that, whatever you want to do. Anything else, Justin, before we get out of here?
No, that's it. I just wanted to thank you again for having me on, and just wanted to encourage everybody to, check out the blogs, especially the recent ones that Brian's written on Facebook, and and also I'm sure you have one coming up on the Mega Upload situation.
Yeah, that's going to be my next one. I'm going to probably try and maybe work on that tonight and tomorrow. But yeah, guys, the blog section, like he's saying, we recently kind of pitched in me, Justin, and Mike Demand from Firetown. We're importing his blogs over here too. So you can catch all three of our blogs. Anytime we write anything, you know, anything longer than, you know, a status update, you know, a Facebook note or a blog or anything. We put it in here so everybody could read it. And there's running comments. If you leave a comment, you'll get an email notification in your email when other people reply. So you'll get to stay in the conversation and all that. And there's some really good stuff in there. There's stuff that you're really not hearing out there. I mean, even in the alternative media, a lot of the things we address is stuff that you're really not getting. There's some really good stuff in there. There's tag words on the right-hand side. So if you go to our blog section at therealnewsonline.com, on the right-hand side of the blog section, there's all these tag words. Click a word that you want to read about. It'll bring up the blog that has that in the content. I mean, it can't be any simpler. Or you could click one of our pictures, and it'll bring up our specific blogs, like my blogs, Justin's blogs, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Thanks for coming on, though, again, Justin. I mean, it's always a great show.
Yeah,
thanks everybody
for
listening. Yeah, anytime, man, anytime. But all right, guys, until the next time, you've been listening to Real News Radio. For Justin Cook, I'm Brian Stavely, and we're out of here.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all better, faster, stronger.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya. Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary on the ball tonight. And you don't give a what they all say, right? Awesome, the Christian and Christian Dior. Damn, they don't make them like this anymore. I ask, cause I'm not sure. Do anybody make real anymore? Bow in the presence of greatness. Cause right now, that has forsaken us. You should be honored by my lateness. That I would even show up to this place. So go ahead, go nuts, go ace. Especially in my pastel on my page. Act like you can't tell who made this. New gospel, homie, take six. And take this, haters. That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night, man. That's how long I've been on ya.
Me like it. Right now.